Amen. Anybody need a worksheet this evening? Didn't get a worksheet? Slip your hand up. Got to need a couple down front here. All right, thank you, sir. Ephesians chapter 6, if you will. We shouldn't be real long tonight. Well, yeah. Actually, I'll tell you why. I shouldn't even tell you this, but I think I left my notes at home. I studied, so I'm not sure I know all the blanks. Do the best you can here. I was just looking. I know it might be in my office. Yeah, go look. It may be laid on the front of my desk this morning. I would have sworn I folded up and put it in my Bible this morning when I came down. But you've got most of the scriptures all there. So even if I can't fill in the blanks, we're going to have a message tonight because it's the Bible that has the message. But anyway, see if it's on the front there. I was sitting on the front of my desk there. I came in and made all these copies this morning, but maybe I just laid it aside. Ephesians chapter 6. Anybody else need a worksheet? Might not do any good anyway if you got it, but here we go. Ephesians chapter 6. Of course, we are talking about building a church. This is the church of God. We have taken people from all over the world. He's taken Jews and Gentiles from all these nations. He's putting them all together. He's trying to figure out a way to make it all work well. And listen, if how can two walk together unless they be agreed? And so the fact is, we are the children of God. We need to be one in doctrine. We're one in faith. We're one in baptism. We are one body. We're the body of Christ. And if the body's fighting each other, we're really in trouble. We're really in trouble. Now the thing that happens so often is the fact that old Satan likes to get in under our skin. He gets under our skin and he starts working one against the other. And so by the time we get to chapter 6, we've talked about submission in chapter 5 and the same thing for children in chapter 6 and for servants, the way we work there. And when we get to verse 10, he says, finally, chapter 6, verse 10, finally, my brethren, brothers in Christ, be strong in the Lord. It's so often, well, I'm not going to let anybody push me around. That's not what I'm talking about. Being strong in the Lord. The just are to live by faith. So what are we saying? Well, God has everything under control. So the fact is, I don't have to jump down somebody's throat. I don't have to trust in oppression. I don't have to trust in trying to intimidate or out-muscle somebody. That's not the way it works. It doesn't work that way. When we're all said and done, we'll probably cause more problems than we solve. So it says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Not in your power of persuasion. Not in your power of intimidation. It's in the power of His might. So he says, if we're going to do this, he says, put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Wasn't there. Well, you give it a shot. It's home in my office right next to my computer, I'm sure. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Verse 12, for we wrestle, not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. There's a couple things I wanted to say that we didn't get done last time, and then next time we're going to walk our way through the armor of Christ. Now, I'm sure many folks have heard messages on these things, but I want to kind of put the armor on next week with you and let you see exactly what we're talking about. There's so often that we will put a little bit of this on, a little bit of that on, or we do this and we say, well, I'm going to concentrate on that, and then we're leaving part of us open to the wiles of the fiery darts. Well, I'll concentrate on this. Watch. There's nothing wrong with knowing all the Word of God. You should know the Word of God. That's the sword of the Spirit. The Word of God, we need to know that. But if we don't put the word of God to practice in that, we have the shield of faith to deflect the fiery darts, we're still going to get hurt. But I knew the word of God. I know. But faith comes from hearing, hearing by the word of God. The word of God, just knowing the information is not enough. We need to have it to a point where it changes who we are on the inside. We say, well, okay, I know the word of God and I've got faith. Okay, and so I just do as I please. What about the shield of righteousness? The breastplate of righteousness. Oh. You mean, you see, if I live right, it's going to help protect me. We say, well, I've got faith. Well, that's faith. That's fine, but you're still doing, you're causing more problems than you should have because of your lack of righteousness. So we will get into that next week. Let's pray, and we're going to talk about resisting the devil. I don't know whether I can do all the lines here. Some of them I may remember, but we're going to have a good message anyway. Lord's good. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your blessings. I thank you for your word and for your truths. Now, Lord, I pray that you'll open our hearts to your word. Your word is the power. It's certain the power of your might to be strong in you. And Lord, I pray that you'll bless us here this evening, work in a great and mighty way. And Lord, the truth and the power is in your word, so we ask you to use your Holy Spirit. My guess is there's probably something in here for all of us tonight. And maybe would you please bring to our remembrance things that maybe we've done, maybe burn a principle into our heart and our soul that we might need to use yet this week, this month. Let us be the body of Christ, edifying one another, not tearing one another down. So, Lord, I pray that you'll bless it. We ask in Christ's name. Amen. On your paper there from last week, the review there, victory is in the surrender. Verse 10 says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. The only way you're going to be strong in the power of his might is to yield over to him and let him be in control. Be strong in the Lord. If you're out, when things go bad, the first thing you do is you're trying to be strong in yourself. Work up some kind of spiritualness or some spirituality, some righteousness. That's not going to do it. You need to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might, not the power of your might. Number two, we found you to dress for victory. Dress for victory. Verse 11 says, put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand, to become established, even into opposition to the wiles of the devil. Do you remember the word wiles meant last week? In 2 weeks ago, we talked about that. That word wiles has with it the idea of to accompany. To accompany. To walk along. He just hangs around. The devil doesn't show up with horns and a long tail and a pitchfork and a red suit. He's not going to do that. Sometimes he comes as the angel of light. Sometimes he has a way of poking somebody else to make them poke you. And you can't see him because all you see is the flesh and the blood that's giving you a hard time. And remember, the person there, that's not the enemy, that's the victim of the enemy. Just like we're victims of the enemy. You know, so say, well, I couldn't help it. You know, I just had a bad day and I laughed. Well, I understand that may be what stirred up your flesh that did what you did, but it's still your sin. It's still your sin. And so sometimes we want to put it off and blame somebody else, you know, like old Flip Wilson, devil made me do it. You know, that's some of you young folks, I don't have anybody who knew who that is. But anyway, he used to say, the devil made me do it. No, the devil may entice you to do it, but we're drawn away of our own lust and enticed. So we need to realize we need to dress for victory. We need to put on the whole armor of God. If we don't put on the whole armor of God, we are looking for trouble. Why? Because the old devil is going to accompany you all day. He's just going to walk right there with you. And if he can sneak a little jab in here, a little jab in there, that's what he's going to do. Junior high boys. You know how they are? If your guard's down, you know, do whatever they can. They put something on your chair so when you sit down, it makes noises and all kinds of stuff. They're just there. Well, that's where the devil is. He's just there. He's just doing whatever he can to irritate, to make trouble, to cause issues. I talked about this morning. We all have pride. And only by pride cometh contention. And so the fact is, he's going to poke our pride so that there's contention. He's going to poke our pride and poke it. Number three, we saw we need to recognize the enemy. Verse 12. For we wrestle, we throw, we strike, we throw down. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. We can't attack one another. I mentioned this morning, I think everybody is insecure to a certain amount. And we think everybody else has everything together. And so when they say something, well, listen, the other week there, I had Brandon and Brother Gaskill and Brother Jagger, and their staff, I should call them, right? Nice, but right names here. But anyway, I pushed one and pushed the other one into the other, right? Well, the fact is that you could say, well, I could see that. Here's the thing. Chances are that the devil pushed this person who pushed that person, who pushed this person, who pushed that person, who pushed this person, who pushed that person, who pushed that person. And so by the time we get pushed, we think all we can see is the person right next to us. We don't realize there was a whole string of things going on. That's where churches divide. That's where families divide. One thing pushed another thing to push another thing, and they thought, well, if they loved me, they wouldn't do this. Well, the fact is, they thought, well, if they loved me, this person would have done that. And they came, well, I have a hard day, so that gives me right to be a mean guy. Well, that's because he had a hard day. So he had a hard day, and he had a hard day. Before long, old devil, he probably just keeps the whole loop just going. Push, 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 and we're just spending the entire time pushing each other around. That person before you, that person behind you, is not the enemy. Number one, I think I know this one. Resist the enemy. Resist the enemy, the devil. He says there in verse 13, wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all, to stand. Now he says, I want you to seize onto something. I said, I don't want you to say, well, I'm just going to kind of, okay. Well, I'm not going to do this very well if I do this. Do it this way. You get ready. When we went down to South Carolina last week, I said, I don't know what it's going to be like. Maybe we ought to just take a jacket just in case. And we've done that before and went on vacation, didn't even take a jacket, and then get out there and it's a rainy day and it's 45. And it's, now, let's just take a jacket. Now, the fact is, we could take a jacket, you know, and we got a jacket. But the jacket's really not really doing it. It just makes me look good. But the jacket's not really doing a whole lot. In fact, we do the same thing with the armor of God. We just kind of dress to look good. Huh? I look the part. But the fact is, it's more than putting it on so you look like you've got the armor of God. You're putting it on so you have the armor of God. So he says, put it on. He says, take. What's the word there? He says, wherefore, take unto you. That little word take means to receive, but also means to seize, to take it, to grab a hold of it, to possess it, to say, it's mine and I'm not letting it go. The nursery. You know the rules in the nursery? The little kid says, if I see it, it's mine. If I was thinking about looking at it, it's mine. If I ever had it, it's mine. If I ever thought about ever having it, it's mine. If I came in and I looked at it before I sat down, it's mine. If you have it, it's mine. You know what? We should be so possessive with the armor of God. We need the armor of God. Now, here it is. He said, take it. It's free. It comes with the package. And yet we face every day without the armor of God. He says, seize it. Take up the whole armor. I've talked about it a little bit already. The whole armor. Why? That ye may be able to withstand. That means to stand in opposition, as opposed to stand in the evil day. The times when Satan sends out the hurt, the evil day. You ever have one of those days? Just think, like, every time you turn around, it's just something else. You know, you've ever heard the saying, things come in threes. And you know what? I don't want to be, you know, dogmatic or superstitious about this, but I really do believe the Bible says the furnace for gold, the finding pot for silver, but God tries the heart. And it seems like, I think sometimes God says, okay, it's time to grow, so we're going to let you have a little growth time here. And so he kind of lets something happen. You know, not that he caused it, but he does allow it to teach us. And then he piles on another one. And then he piles on another one and says, Lord, what are you doing to me? I can't take this. He says, that's my point. I'm trying to convince you to put on your outfit. Dress for success. Put on the armor of God. And we think, well, I'll do that as soon as I can, but we're trying to fight off all these things here, you know, with all our concentration, rather than, as they sang this evening, bow the knee. And we get overwhelmed. Well, why does he let us get overwhelmed? So he's not giving me anything that I can't handle. You know what? 90% of the time when people say that, that means he knows that I can handle that. No, he doesn't. That's not what he's saying. He wants you to handle it with him. He wants you to oh yeah, I forgot to put my armor on today. I forgot my shield of faith today. I didn't polish and read my sword of the Spirit today. He says, listen, he says, whereunto you take the whole armor of God, where that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, those bad days, and having done all, done what? Put on the armor of God. Having done all, to stand. The soldier doesn't go in with just part of his armor. He's going to have every bit of armor that he can get. We went to one of those medieval times dinner. You ever see one of those things? And they show different pictures and different that. You know, you had the serfs and all these guys, and some of these guys, that doesn't mean to go, hey, dude. The serfs were. But anyway, they had these coats of mail and all this kind of stuff, and had hats, you know. But the kings, they have whole suits of armors, you know. Whole suits of armor. And so it have as much covered as you can. And he says here, you want to stand? Having done all, worked fully to the finish, to stand, to be established, to be staunch, to be firm, to be resolute, to be unwavering, unbendable, definite, determined. I can face it because it's not me. I'm taking the whole armor of God because I realize I'm not able to do this. When will we come to the realization we cannot do this? You realize you can't raise your kids right? I can't raise my kids right, but God can. I can't be a good husband, but God can be a great husband if I let him live through me. Now, I'm not saying I've made that yet, but I can be a better one. I can be a forgiving husband. I can have a forgiving wife. We can have the relationship we're supposed to have. I can face, listen, we're going to be facing persecution. I hate to say it. And those of us who have, you know, you have young kids and grandkids, and And the fact is, we think we're doing our favors by totally isolating them from that. And I want them to have a, be able to live childhood and have this all that fine and dandy. But in the midst of their childhood, make sure they've got the sword of spirit already all in, ready to go. Make sure that you have completed their shield of faith. Make sure that you have taught them how to put on that breastplate of righteousness. Meantime, have their feet shod with the gospel of peace, giving the gospel to everybody else that we can. We've got to have the armor of God as a church. If we don't, we're going to fall. Who was it? Was it Benjamin Franklin? Who was it that said when they were signing the Declaration of Independence, says, listen, we all have to hang together. We're all going to hang separately. We are not going to be going along with all the work of the flesh, letter B, with all the work of the flesh. Ephesians 5, 1, I'm not going to read all that, but he says there in Ephesians 5, 1, we've read it before because we studied it, it says, be ye followers of God, walk in love, fornication, uncleanness, covetousness, let it not once be named unto you. Neither filthiness or foolish talking, jesting. We can't let our flesh grab a hold of it. What do we need to do? We need to be in the Spirit. Verse 9, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving or demonstrating what is acceptable in the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. He's saying, put on the armor of God. Don't put on the flesh. Take off the old man. Put on the new man. We need to be going along with, whether it is letter C, we are to be going along with the Spirit. We walk with the Spirit. Romans 13:9. I'll read that to you. Romans 13:9. It says, for this thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet. If there be any other commandments briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Verse 13:10. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. And that knowing the time, that now is high time to wake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light, the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting, drunkenness, not in chambering or wantonness, not in strife and envy, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof. We need to stay away from the things of the devil. We need the things of the flesh. 1 Peter 5 says this, humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, look at it, your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour, whom resist, be in opposition to, not going along with, stand against, whom resist steadfast in the faith. Know that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. We are not to wrestle against the power of Satan. We're not supposed to be wrestling against the power of Satan. That's not who we wrestle against. Well, isn't he the enemy? Oh, he's the adversary. Yes, he is. But wait a minute. We cannot do it in a physical warfare. I do not have within me to be able to keep him under wraps. Well, who can? Well, the Lord. All Satan is wanting me to get all worked up, to get all angry, to get in the flesh and start lashing out at people. But wait a minute, that's the unfruitful works of darkness. So all of a sudden, I'm on his side. I'm doing what he does. I'm not helping the matter. I'm making things worse. Ephesians 6:12 said, 12a there said, for we wrestle not against the flesh and blood. Galatians 5:13. Watch this. You know this passage. It's right there. I gave it to you. For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty, only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh. but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. And this I say, then walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And then it goes on and gives us what the work of the flesh is. This is what he's, Satan is the kid. Junior high, there was always one boy that could sit in class and stir up trouble, and when the teacher walked in, he looked like an angel. And the rest of us were at each other's throats and we're all in trouble. He just knew how to do it. Now, fact is, Satan's a whole lot more subtle than that little boy. He knows just how to do it. And the fact is, if he can get us to fuss and fume and bite and devour one another, he won. He won. He can get our attention on everybody else except the real problem. The problem is it's in our own heart. The problem is that others need to come to know Christ. He loves to do that. We are to be wrestling against the power of flesh. The problem is I got to keep myself beat down. No, not beat myself up. That's not what I'm saying. I've got to keep myself second. I don't know what number two is. We'll come back to that when maybe I'll get you later. Number three, if we resist the devil, he will, this one is easy, flee. If we resist the devil, number three, he will flee. James 4. You've heard me do this before, but I want you to see it. Here it is, the passage. I'm going to put it all in context. He says, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. He will flee. Number one, the word flee, I gave you the word there, didn't I? Run away, seek to escape. Satan doesn't want to be around us when the Lord's all over us. He's going to go find somebody else to beat up. When the Lord's all over you, he cannot do it. He says submit. Now watch that word submit. There, look at it. Subordinate to. Obey. What does it say? Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. What does that mean? You got a problem? The old devil's fighting you? Here's what you need to do. Obey God. But he's fighting. Obey God. But you don't know what? I obey God. Well, that'll never work. Obey God. If it made sense, it wouldn't take faith. Obey God. Be insubordinate. Submit yourself to. Choose. Listen, don't wait for God to smack you down. He might do that to save your neck, but it's no fun. He says, submit yourselves, therefore, to God. And then he says, resist. Stand in opposition. Resist the devil. And the devil, of course, is that accuser, the one who's stirring up trouble among us. He's a slanderer, the one who's telling lies. Sometimes he tells the truth. But whatever he can do to get us all at each other's throats, that's all he needs to do. And by the way, you know the things that really damage most people is what he said, she said? All that little stuff. It's not really the fact that they actually physically stepped on your toes. The fact is, they didn't take notice that they stepped on my toes. That's where we got our problems. It's personal, interpersonal things. That's really the biggest problem. It's back to pride. Only by pride cometh contention. Now he says we can resist that old accuser, resist that slanderer. He says, and if we resist him, stand in opposition, he will flee. But the fact is, I made a little mark there, Luke 4:13. We don't need to turn to it. Remember when Jesus was tempted in the wilderness, right? The Holy Spirit came down, he was tempted. And the old Satan, you know, he says this. And he, of course, gives partial scripture. And Jesus gives him the rest of the story. And so he three times. And if you go back and look at it, once is the lust of the flesh, and once the lust of the eyes, and once the pride of life, just like the rest of us. He is an all-wise tempter, such as we, yet without sin. And then it said, Look on your paper. It says that old Satan departed from him for a season. For a season. Listen, I resist the devil today. There's a good chance we'll be back tomorrow. Now, it could be we resist him, we're faithful, and we resist him and have the shield of faith up and the breastplate of righteousness, and we're working around with the sword of the Spirit, just like Jesus did, and we're doing real well. But don't go resting on your laurels, because he will be back. In fact, he's going to have somebody just kind of monitoring you. And says, okay, is he full of himself yet? In fact, my guess is, old Satan will probably send somebody along and say, you know, you're really spiritual. I wish I was as spiritual as you were. And even things like, it sounds terrible, there's nothing wrong with doing this, but don't let it go to your head. Would you pray for me? I wish I had your faith. Boy, I got things better together than I thought. About time we start getting fat and happy, Satan's back. Number four, I know this one too. We resist the devil. No, we're supposed to resist him. We resist him, he'll escape, he'll flee. All right? But wait a minute, I thought you just said we're not supposed to be fighting him. No, we're supposed to be resisting him. We resist the devil by being steadfast in the faith. By being steadfast in the faith. Steve, Brandon, come back up here. All right. You're standing right next to me, Brandon. Steve on the side there, shoulder to shoulder. All right. Do you know what he told me about you?
You'll never believe this.
And so then what did he does? Well, then he says, well, wait a minute. Who do you think you are? Well, wait a minute. The shield of faith, steadfast in the faith. Faith says, you know what? It's not my hands. I wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and things in the air that's going to get me all stirred up. And my response to what he just said can be good and it can be bad depending on whether I do what, if I submit to the Lord or whether I don't submit to the Lord. So how will the Lord have me to do that? So the old devil does something and says, smack him. Smack him. Oh, you gave in. I got him. The devil says, smack him. I catch me once, shame on you. Catch me twice, shame on me. Smack him. Smack him. Smack him! Well, you're no fun. Huh? Absolutely. And now all I'm gone, now actually the tension's probably gone. Because I was stirring something up that didn't need to be there, but I was going to do it. And in fact, if he sees me coming and sees me pushing him, he's going to do his best to just stand where he is, steadfast in the faith. You're a ball player, right?
I used to be.
Okay. Get your shortstop stance. Come on. Now, look. See, that's what I'm talking about. You're not going anywhere. You're standing steadfast in the faith. Smack him! That's right. See, listen. Resist the devil. How am I resisting? I'm not going to do what you told me to do. I'm going to do what God told me to do. I am supposed to submit unto him, obey him. How do I resist the devil and make him flee? Steadfast in the faith. Thank you, guys. Steadfast in the faith. God says I'm supposed to love my enemies. He says He says we're supposed to pray for those who persecute us. Bless those that curse. If your enemy drinks, is thirsty, give him something to drink. If he hungers, give him something to eat. Well, that'll never work. Faith. Faith. Steadfast in the faith. Just keep doing what I'm telling you. Stick to it. 1 Peter 5:9, you got it there. He says, whom resist steadfast in the faith. I don't know what the word is, but you get the idea. Solid, stiff, unmovable. That's the word. Unmovable, strong, sure. He says, humble yourselves, therefore, in the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting on you. Remember, the top of the inside page on the left there, is that's the passage. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. See, we say, well, I did what he said, but it's still coming. Due time. Due time. Watch. It's the same thing Brandon said. Listen, the fact is, he pushed me. Well, come on, I'm trying to. Due time. Enough time to say, you know what, I'm going to be serious about this thing. You're not moving me from God's position. You can yell as much as you want to yell. You can push and you can scream. But I'm not moving. Because my faith in what God says is true is greater than my fear of you. I'm going to do what I'm called to do. Steadfast in the faith. So he says, verse 7, You got problems? Cast all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, your enemy, as a roaring lion, walk about seeking whom he may devour. And how to resist? Steadfast, in opposition. Steadfast in the faith. Didn't say punch him in the nose. Didn't say go around all town and talk about how bad he is. He said steadfast in the faith. Just keep doing what God has called you to do. Submit. I know some of you have seen this, but I'm going to have to do it for you anyway because I want you to see this. The Bible says there's a straight and narrow path. Few there be that find it. It says there's a broad way that leads to destruction. Many there are that go in thereat. Okay? It's not the straight and narrow path is kind of like the little path that comes down off the hill where the cows go home. It's not necessarily very interesting. We went to this garden now. I was talking about that this morning. We went down to this garden. Of course, they had all these paved paths and all this stuff, and it was all very, very nice. That's really fine and dandy. And, you know, Satan dresses up a lot of things. It makes it very, very appealing. God said, I just want something very natural, just a simple path. Now, here's what happens. You've got, and listen to this, kids. This is a good one. You got this deer. Going down, you ever notice where every once in a while you see deer crossing signs? You know, they always put those things in the wrong place. You ought to let them cross someplace else. But anyway, but the fact is, deer have a certain place where they go. That's just where they do. And so the deer is going along his little path, you know, and he's doing his little thing. Okay. Now, answer me this: if you were a lion and you wanted to attack a deer and have deer burgers for dinner, all right? Would you, when the deer came up the path, would you go, "Rah!" You wouldn't do that? Why? He'd run away. Duh. Exactly right. So if you were the lion, how would you catch the deer? That's right. That's right. We're having burgers tonight. I tell you what happens. Well, then why does he talk about a roaring lion? I'll tell you why. Eli, come here. Come right here in a minute. You're my deer. All right. Now, he's walking along having a good old time. Okay? He's having a good time. Scampering. I'm not going to call you Bambi. All right. So there he is. All right. And so what happens is the deer, is out there having his own little way, and the lion goes, "Rah!" Now, what would you probably do if I did that? Would you do that way? Wait a minute. You go that way? If I was coming at you, which way would you go? You'd probably go this way and run, right? Okay. Now, wait a minute. You're supposed to be on the path. But the first thing we do, have a seat there. Well, the first thing we do when the deer, when the lion roars, is we run the other way. Now, I guarantee you that the lion is not going to chase him down the straight and narrow path. No, he's going to come from the side. And this is how it works. You go back and study of National Geographic and all that kind of good stuff. What happens is, in the pride of lions, you've got one old lion who's probably missing teeth, but he's big, he's got the hair, you know, the whole thing. He's the bad dude. And at one time was probably pretty tough. But then Calvary came and defeated him. Not the cavalry, Calvary defeated that old lion. And so what he does is, he stands on this side of the path, and he roars! And so that little deer runs away from the roar where the young lions are sitting. And they take him down. They can still run fast enough to take him down. The old lion can't. So the deer gets over, gets caught in the briars, caught in the weeds, gets off the path, and it takes him down. But once he's taken down, big boy over here gets first dibs. He gets to have dinner first. And if there's anything left over, the young lion gets it. Now, we do the exact same thing. Lion roars, and we show up over here in the briars, and we get taken down. What would have been the smartest thing for that deer to have done when the lion roared? Stay on the path. He was on the path. He's safe. He's not in the briars. He's not in the snares. You go back and read Proverbs over and over and over again. He's not in the traps. He's not getting splinters. The old Jehoshaphat. He's just simply doing what he's supposed to. As long as he stays on that path, he's in good shape. When I was growing up, my neighbor had a beagle. His name was Brownie. And Brownie would just bark, 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 you know, all night. You know, they was actually kind of shady. They put him on, I don't know why they always had a dog, but they have a dog, and they put him on a chain. He was chained up all the time. You know, just chained up all the time. And he was one of those that had a great big long chain, but you could tell where the end of the chain, because that's where the dirt stopped. I mean, the grass started? And that was it. And the first time I walked over there, their house, here it comes, you know, and I'm running, these dogs after me. But after I realized that, I could tell that the sound was getting further and further in the distance after 1 mile or two. But anyway, he stopped. He can't go any further than the chain. And I could have one on this side, and I could have one on that side, and they can be roaring and barking all they can. The fact is, as long as I stay on the path, I found out I could get right up into his nose, and he couldn't do a thing because there were limitations on what he could do. There's limitations on what God's going to allow Satan to do. And if he does allow him to give us a little workover, it's because he's trying to teach us. Now, the way to be safe from that is to simply stay on the path doing what I'm supposed to do. Well, didn't you hear the roar? Oh, I heard it. But what did he say? What did God say? Just stay on the path. Just do what he called you to do. Number 5, we are steadfast in the faith when we simply stand in faith. Stand in faith. Stand to abide. To continue, to make a covenant, stay there. Make a deal, we're going to stay there. I don't know what the blank is next there. But we need to stand in the faith. This quarter after, I probably should stop and get the rest of the notes for next week. But this is good stuff. Anyway, let me do one more. Let me see if there's anything I want to do before we go. I don't know what number six is, but I know what number seven is. Allow God to show you where to stand. Allow God to show you where to stand. I even know what number eight is. Number seven. Allow God to show you where to stand. Let God give you a vision. Proverbs 29:18. Wherefore, where there is no vision, the people perish. I didn't put the rest of them because I wasn't aware. Well, let me read it to you. Yeah, it is good. I wanted to clip that off. Boy, I had a hard time on this one, didn't I? 29:18. Where there is no vision, the people perish, but he that keepeth the law, there it is, happy is he. I knew that was a good one. He that keepeth the law, happy is he. What does that mean? He that obeys. He that does what he's told to do. Let God give you vision. Let God give you vision. Let God show you. In fact, when you go back and study that passage, that word vision literally means the word of God. The vision. You used to talk about the prophet who would give a vision from God. The seer who had a vision from God. The prophet was the one who gave who told the people what God wanted them to know. The priest is the one who takes us to God's people. I mean, to God. It takes the people to God. The priest takes people to God. The prophet tells us what God is saying. And he says, listen, I want to give them a vision. I want to give them an idea. I want to give them hope. I want to give them direction. And the fact is, we need to let God give us a vision. And Saul, in Acts 9, when on the road to Damascus, he said, in trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? I'm going to stop here because I don't want to ruin it. Stop here. What would you have me to do? Now let's go back and review here. Our enemy is not the person that gives you a hard time. Your enemy is not that person that gets under your skin. Your enemy is not that person who said something about you or to you or did something you didn't like. That's not your enemy. That's just the fact. Listen, it could be they just had a bad day too. And it could be that old Satan is pushing one person to another person, is putting to another person, and you're just part of the cycle. Don't turn around and smack that person back. That's not the enemy. The enemy is old Satan who wants to destroy us by us destroying each other. Biting, devouring until we are helpless, hopeless. So he says we need to resist. Resist the devil and he will. We resist him by being steadfast in the faith. Just keep doing what you were told to do. But they, steadfast in the faith. Well, you don't, they're steadfast in the faith. Well, how can I do that? Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Just keep putting it in there. Every time we do it, we're putting another coating on your shield there. Another layer of protection. Another one over and over. After a while, listen, there's nothing that can penetrate that thing. The more, listen, every time we learn a new principle in the Bible, listen, I'd rather have a shield with no holes in it. I'd like it to be totally solid so nothing at all can sneak through, not even little bits and pieces. But that comes by your faith. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Fact is, you know what we do sometimes? My wife does a message for the ladies like this. Sometimes, I know a lot of Bible. Here's my shield of faith to prove it. The fact is, you're not gonna be able to protect yourself real well with a shield this big. And you can try to aim it. You know, boy, this Christian life is hard. Well, I could probably protect myself a little bit more with this. A little bit. If my shield's this big. Dr. Hiles, years ago, somebody showed up to a service and
So the story, I don't know whether it's truth or legend, you know, some of the things, but so the story goes, the guy walked the aisle and got saved, and he came down the aisle and handed the guy in the aisle his pistol because he had come to shoot Dr. Hiles, and he got saved instead. That's the, as the story goes. Well, that's great, and it really is. They then lined his pulpit with bulletproof material, you know, just in case. Now, fact is, if this is my shield, I'm doing a lot better than this. But if this is all the faith I have and all the areas of faith that I have, I'm bound to get hurt somewhere. But I was trusting God. Yeah, for this much. You knew this much. So why do we come on Sunday night to build our shield of faith? For one reason. Make it bigger. Well, I'm not being attacked. Don't wait until the fiery darts show up the side to build your shield. Because a Satan is not going to say, okay, by the way, in 6 weeks I'm going to attack. So go to church and make sure your shield of faith is all up standard. No! You know what he's going to do? Boy, you're strong. You got this covered. I mean, when it's talked about being a Christian, you've got a quarter on Christianity. You know, you've been really doing well. Yeah, you have. Yeah. Stab. All because we didn't have the breastplate of righteousness on, didn't have the shield of faith up. We let down our guard. We got to stand. Resist. By steadfast in the faith. Let's pray. Father, again, we thank you for speaking to us. Lord, thank you for meeting with us in spite of my shortcomings. Lord, I pray for you this time. Lord, help us to have a determination to build the shield of faith. To polish up and lengthen that sword of the Spirit, give us ourselves a greater reach on the Word of God, to guard ourselves from our own attack, from our own problems in that breastplate of righteousness. Lord, help us to stand, and knowing that we will, having done all, we can stand, and having stood, we resist. And when we resist, old Satan flees. Thank you for your promises. Thank you for your power. That we may be strong in the power of your might. May each of us open ourselves up to you, not to set us up as a target for old Satan. Bless each one of our folks here, Lord. I want them to stand in your faith, stand in your word, and give you the praise for all that you do. In Christ's name, amen. Let's take our hymn.